Well, good morning. Isn't it good to worship the Lord? All right, you may be seated. We're going to do a couple things. I know you're freaking out, right? Number one, it's going to be okay. We're going to do things a little differently. First off, if you're a visitor here this morning, we'd like to just welcome you. We're really excited that you're here with us. And again, things will be just a little different. What we're going to do is distribute some of our music this morning, kind of throughout sort of the service. And so we're going to start in song, and then we're going to kind of talk a little bit, and then we're going to reflect back on what the Lord is speaking to us in song. And so don't worry, everything will be okay. It's just a little bit different. Hopefully, God can kind of meet us in that place and sort of reflecting in music as we go along rather than all right in the beginning. So I hope you enjoy this morning very, very much. It's good to see everybody. The early bird, the 9 a.m., you know, I just read something yesterday. It said, the early bird gets the, how was your worm? I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad. I guess if you're a bird, it's a good thing. But it's great to see you all sort of smiling and ready to go this morning. We are going to continue in our message where we were focusing on orphan care and on adoption. And so we're going to look at that again this morning, how we were, and last week we talked about how we were spiritual orphans. Spiritually, we were lost, and Christ made a promise, and that's what the title of today's message is, the promise that He wouldn't leave us. In fact, let's go to John 14, 18 this morning. And that was the verse we looked at last week, and this was the promise of Christ. I will not leave you, Jesus said, as orphans, but I will come to you. Now, that's an amazing thought that Christ came to us as spiritual orphans. That we were spiritually lost, and yet He found us and He came to us. And we're going to look at that this morning in a variety of different ways. Of course, last week we talked about the fact that we were helpless orphans. But now adopted, we've been adopted into the family of Christ. Now, because of that adoption, we now help orphans. So because of who we were and who we are now in Christ, because we were lost and helpless orphans, now we've been adopted into the family, therefore, now we help orphans. That's what we're going to look at. This morning, we're going to focus on one phrase, and that phrase is this, when Jesus said, I will come to you. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Now, before we get too deep into this, and this is kind of early, but that is a future tense kind of a phrase. I will come. That looks for a future tense. And when we read it, we think Jesus was saying, I will come to you. But actually, in the Greek, that's not that wasn't written in future tense. It was written in present tense. And so it could have been written, that phrase, I will come to you, could have been written like this. I come to you. So rather than just saying, I will come to you, it could have, and probably more accurately, would have been written, I come to you. In fact, the ASV, the American Standard Version, translates it that way. Now, that's a different kind of a statement, isn't it? To say, I will come to you, says, I will come in the future. To say, I come to you, says that Jesus consistently, over and over and over and over again, comes to us. That this promise that Jesus gave, I will come to you, was fulfilled, is being fulfilled, and will be fulfilled. Now, isn't that a beautiful thought? That Jesus says, I will come to you. And that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to look at the variety of ways that Jesus comes to us, and then we're going to tie that in to something called physical or adoption that happens in the real world. So I want to open us up in a word of prayer this morning. If the ushers can get ready, we're going to take our offering first. You know, it's a good thing to respond. The fact that we've been adopted and we've been now brought into the family, we give back our tithes, we give back to the Lord because of what He has given to us and how He has welcomed us in. So even this is going to be a time of worship. Again, if you are new this morning, we're glad you're here. It's going to be a little bit different, but I hope that's okay with you. But let's open this morning in a word of prayer. Let's pray for our offering as we get started. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. God, we thank you that you adopted us. We thank you, Lord, that you gave yourself to us. God, that you came down into we were spiritual orphans before trusting in you. And Father, now we've been welcomed into your family. And Jesus, that is all a fulfillment of that amazing promise that you made, which says, I come to you. You come to us. And Christ, I pray that we would understand that we could agree this morning, that we would appreciate the fact that we were orphans and now we've been adopted. We were homeless and now we have a home. We were helpless and now we have been given all the help that we need. Father, ultimately, we were without and now we can give you service. So we thank you for that. And God, we want to give back today to you based upon what we have been given. So bless this offering as they continue to further the work here at Bayside and around the world and the other missions that we support. We thank you, dear God. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as the ushers come on forward, if you can notice in the bulletin, there's a little connection card. You can kind of rip that out. You can fill that in. The ushers will kind of take that as you go, or you can put it in the back and the ushers will. You know what? Let's begin by defining that word orphan. Let's define that word. What is that? What is that word orphan? What's at the heart of that word? It's the Greek word orphano. And here's a literal definition. It means parentless, comfortless, fatherless, or to take away hope. You know, let's stop that in. At the heart of that, to be parentless, to be comfortless, to be without comfort, to be fatherless, and to literally take away hope from an individual's life. You know, we all go through difficult times, we all go through times where we feel no sense of comfort, where we need comfort, maybe where we feel hopeless. But the heart of an orphan is literally the taking away of all hope out of a life. You're taking away the father to not have parents, and it's literally being without comfort. And again, I have trouble relating to that because I have had so much comfort in my life. And I think we have trouble relating to that because our lives, even though they're difficult at times, and I know your life is, and my life has been filled with some difficulties recently, and all of us, but we still have a sense of hopefulness in our life. But the heart of an orphan is literally the taking away. And I want us to think how that's defined as spiritually, as hard as that can be to relate to sometimes, that was us. And at the same time, that does define certain children in our world. That is how they could define their world. If parents were comfortless, fatherless, or not to have any hope. So now let's take a look at what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at six ways that Jesus fulfilled that promise, where he said, I will not leave you. As for Thanos, I will come to you. I will literally come to you. So let's look at the ways that Jesus comes to us as orphans. Six ways. The first one is this. You take a note, you can feel this. And Jesus came into the world, into our world, as helpless, homeless, and hopeless, orphans. He came into our world. Jesus literally step down into our world. Now, we remember this at Christmas. This is what we celebrate this time of the year, when Christ came into the world. He stepped down into the world. Now, Matthew 1:23, which is this way, and they shall call, speaking of Jesus, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So
So at Christmas time, what we do is we celebrate, we remember, we prepare for the fact that Jesus stepped down into the world. That God, became a man, stepped down into the world of orphans. Christ was willing, that's a very key word, Christ was willing to step into the world of helpless, homeless, and hopeless orphans. And the first step in the adoption process, our spiritual adoption, is what God did. The first step is what God did in stepping down into creation. Now, we must also realize something. That for us to be willing to help orphans, we must step into their world. We must be willing to step into the world of an orphan in one way or another. And I'm not saying this holds the same for everyone because it doesn't. But for us to literally help orphans, we must be willing to sacrifice. We must be willing to step out of our comfort zone, just like Jesus did. When Christ stepped down into the world of lost orphans, we must reflect that now and step down into the world of orphans. That's the first step. It's the first step to the spiritual adoption that we have in Christ, that God stepped into our world, and that must be the first step. So we have to ask ourselves, are we willing this morning to step into the world? There's something inside of us that is willing in some way, one way or the other. It's not going to look the same for all of us. Not every one of us is going to literally, physically adopt a child. But are we willing to step into the world of those who are comfortable, those who are powerless? We're going to watch a couple segments of video this morning from a family from church from Bayside that adopted. And let's watch the first segment. Did you hear what she said? Six teenage boys. They were raising six teenage boys. And the Lord put it in her heart to step into the world. We must, that is the first step in adoption, to be willing in one way or another. That's what Christ did for us, to step into our world. And that's the first step in adoption process. Coming into the world of the okay, number two, the second way that Christ fulfilled his promises come to us is Jesus, of course, came back at his resurrection. And we know very clearly when he spoke those words to his disciples in that session, when he said in John 14, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you, he was also referring to the fact that 3 days later, he would come back to them in the resurrection. And so the second way that Christ fulfills it, he comes to us, when he stepped out of the grave, rescued us from death, redeemed us from all things, and gave us. And that's what Jesus did when he stepped out of the grave. He rescued us. You know, I've heard this said. Maybe if not most adoptions, physical adoptions, are rescued. They are rescued. They are rescuing the child from a situation that is in some way not ideal, and in many ways, very, very difficult. And so an adoption is literally a rescue mission. So when Christ came to us at his resurrection, he was rescuing us. He was redeeming us. He was literally saving us. And when we step into the world of the heart, we in some way help to rescue the child. Now that is an act of. We're going to study songs. here I am to work. And when Christ steps out of the grave, steps back into the life of orphans, and when we were saved through that, through our faith, it became then a life that we live of worth honoring for a couple of lives in this time before you. Because of the light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. The light of the world steps down into darkness. And then another one is just humbling you to this earth. Let's stand together. Let's sing this song entitled, Here I Am to Worship. Let's remember all that Christ did. Let's remember how we stepped down and then how we rose. Let's take a look at how the third way that Christ fulfilled that promise is coming to us. Number three, Christ comes when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Now that becomes kind of funny. Well, wait, you said, how Christ comes with the Holy Spirit? Well, we know that Christ actually comes to us through His Spirit. The Holy Spirit, Christ, God, the Father are all one. The Spirit of the Trinity. But when John spoke in chapter 14, when he said, I will not come to you as orphans, 2 verses before that, in verse 16, if you remember, John says, I will send you another counselor who will be with you forever. And he was saying, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Christ fulfilled that promise when he sent the Holy Spirit. Let's read about the Holy Spirit coming to earth. This is at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, first 2 verses of Acts 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, Christ had ascended. He said, just wait until I send this promised Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as the fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. This miraculous coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, come on all believers, receive in a miraculous, supernatural way in this moment. And verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. One of the things I loved about studying the doctrine is how all three members of the Trinity worked together. They worked hand in hand in the adoption of the gospel. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all working together to adopt us, to welcome us into His family. I think it's a neat picture that when the physical adoption happens, the whole family is involved. And if you've adopted or you know families that have, you know how that is a reality. The whole family is involved in the adoption process. I want to read a couple of verses that show how Father, Son, and Spirit are intimately tied together in this adoption process. It's Romans 8, verses 15 and 17. This shows us the Trinity in the adoption process. So for you to not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father, and the Father. The Spirit Himself is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And His children then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Now you can see Father, the Holy Spirit, and our Son. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified in Him. Now we can see that we've been adopted. Here's how this works. Here's how the Trinity works in relationship to our adoption. We are adopted by the Father. We are adopted through the Son. And we are adopted into the Holy Spirit. So God the Father adopts us through the work of Jesus into the very Holy Spirit of God. So all three members of the Trinity, it's a group effort. In your spiritual adoption, it's a group effort. Father, Son, and Spirit working hard to get you into the family, pulling you into this family. And your physical adoption is also certainly a family and a group effort. Okay, that's the third way Jesus comes. Now let's look at the fourth way Jesus is told, I will come to you. Number four, Christ comes then into our hearts at the time of salvation. So when Christ said, I come to you, He then comes into our hearts when we put our faith in what He did. Two verses that show this pretty clearly, and you can see the Trinity in this question here. But first of all, Ephesians 3:17 says, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. We talked about this. When we are saved, it's not because we ask Jesus to dwell in our hearts. When we are saved, it is because we trust in what Christ did, and then He then dwells in our hearts. The the difference in those two. We trust that He will come and He took our sin upon Himself. And we're actually going to remember that. But when we realize that Christ took our sin, became sin for us, when we trust Him, when we rely upon that as the only way to salvation, then Christ comes and dwells in our hearts through faith. So He's like, comes in. Now let's look at another verse from Romans, Romans 8:9. If you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, if anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. Now this is just an awesome verse, because the Trinity is so clear here. If you look at it, it says, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, well, Ephesians just told us Christ dwells in us. Now the Spirit of God dwells in us. And then he says, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. These three are so intimately tied together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when we trust in what Jesus Christ did and receive that gift of salvation, Christ comes in, God's Holy Spirit comes in, and the Spirit of Christ comes in. That's one. That is the picture of God then coming to us at the moment that we are saved. So when we are adopted, listen to this, when we are adopted, God literally gives Himself to us. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives Himself to us. Remember, we talked last week about the Holy Spirit in us is our spiritual birth certificate. We take promise that this one is mine. Now, there are times I know when we feel like we might just go hard and we feel like God on the other hand. This life on this earth has been really hard. I feel so alone. And that's what those disciples were going through, right? When Jesus left and when He went to the cross, I'm sure they felt like spiritual, they felt like absolute. And there's times in this world when things get really hard, when we can feel like Christ has left us, that He has left us never to return. But we need to remember that the Holy Spirit in us is that promise, it's that guarantee Christ literally gave Himself to us so that we would know we are His. We've been adopted. Also, when you physically adopt a child, you literally give yourself to them. When you welcome a child into your home, you adopt them. You give yourself to them, just like God the Father did when He adopted us. He gave Himself to us. When you adopt, you give yourself to the child that you can be part of the family, to the universe. And we are going to, now, as I said, we're going to remember Christ's sacrifice. When we are saved, when we put our faith in Jesus, one of the very key things, one of the key things that God tells us, do this, but never stop doing this, is remember. It's remembering all that Christ went through to pay for our spiritual adoption. So we're going to now take a moment right in the middle of our service and remember what Jesus did. And I love the fact that we're doing this in the middle, because if you separate Christ out of the adoption process, spiritually, you have no adoption process. So Christ is integrated completely in the middle. He is the center of the only reason that we have hope as spiritual orphans. And so we're going to now remember exactly what Christ did, giving Himself, giving His body, shedding His blood on our behalf to redeem. While we do this, and all the elements are being passed out, I encourage you to wait until everybody receives it. You don't have to be a member at all to participate in it, to keep trusting in Jesus to lead us in this. But while the elements are being passed out, we're going to sing a beautiful song, and it's called Jesus Paid It All. Jesus Paid It All. He paid for our spiritual adoption. I would encourage you during this song, you can do one of a couple of things. If you want to sing along with the praise team that they sing the song, you can sing all the words that we have on the stage, you can do it. If you want to just sit back and reflect on what Christ did, feel free to do that. And then once we pass out the bread, which is a representation of Christ's body, which is broken for us, then we'll partake together and then we'll partake together. Let's pray now. Let's thank the Lord for what He did for us on the cross, and we can pray a blessing over this. Our Heavenly Father, we do come to You again and again. We are thankful that You took us. If You didn't leave us in that place, spiritual anymore. God, you welcome that we step down into our world. Then you defeated death, you rose up out of the grave, and in true faith, you adopted us into your family. And we just want to praise you, and we just want to thank you for that in your hope. Anytime we must always remember what the top was for us. And so now, God, we remember, we think back upon all that you did for us, giving your body, literally allowing your body to be broken, that we might have blessed this and help us to remember and to think back upon your true wisdom. In it all, we would not have spiritual adoption if Christ not being we would be hopeless, homeless, orphans. We would be without help. We would be lost. And the Lord Jesus paid for it. What a beautiful truth. What a beautiful truth we see all you need. Let's get our last 2 ways that Jesus fulfilled this promise of I come to you. Number 5, the fifth way Jesus comes to us. This is a good one. We're waiting on this one. Jesus comes at his second return. Jesus comes at his second return. We know that Christ is coming soon. We've been talking a lot about him. He is coming to the end of all things. He is at hand. He's coming quickly. Christ is going to come, and what is he going to do? He's going to take those adopted orphans right home. He is going to take us home. That is wonderful, beautiful news. Let's read about that in Romans 8, 23. There's something interesting in this verse, Romans 8, 23. It says, we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption of sons. Waiting for adoption, I thought it already. The redemption of our bodies. Now, isn't that a serious little thought? We're waiting for our adoption? You know, earlier in Romans, chapter 8, it says we were adopted. So how can we be waiting for something that's already happened? We're waiting eagerly for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This is the thing. We won't be fully adopted. It seems as though our spiritual adoption is a multi-part process. That yes, we have been adopted. We put our faith into Jesus. We've been adopted into his family. But the fullness of that adoption is when Jesus comes back actually takes us. That our full adoption will happen with Christ at the redemption that we get our new body, and Christ comes back, and we get the church, and we're with him for eternity. That is when the fullness of adoption will happen. There's a dad here at Bayside who they adopted a young boy. And remember, before they actually took him home, and they didn't even know who their adopted boy was yet. And he was saying, you know, they were in the adoption process, and they didn't know who it was going to be yet. But I had a copy with him, and he said something really interesting. He said, I know my son, my boy, my child, he's out there. I just can't wait. He didn't even know his son yet. But he knew that he was out there. He was waiting eagerly to take him home. Now that is the heart of an adopted father. That is the heart of God's friend. God is saying to him, look at all my kids down there. And he can't wait to take him home. It's a beautiful picture. Christ will fully adopt us at the same time as the redemption of our body when he brings us into our final home from heaven and the fifth way Jesus comes to us. Let's look at the final one. Number 6, the fifth way that Jesus fulfilled that promise that I will come to you. This one again is the way Jesus comes into the world every time we come. Jesus comes, he fulfills his promise to come to us every time we need as his children grow. Let's read Matthew 28:19. Jesus is speaking to his disciples right before he was sent. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all behold, I am with you always. Jesus told us to go into all the world and make disciples. He said, I will be with you. Why? Because he's in us. See, Christ comes into our hearts as salvation. Therefore, when we now go out into the world to make disciples, Christ then comes into the world through us. So Christ fulfills the promise of I come to you when we are willing to go. When we are willing to go into our job, when we are willing to go into our family, when we are willing to go into our neighborhood, when we are willing to go into our school system, when we are willing to go wherever it is that God has placed us to go. You see, when we go there and we're willing to be, we are a light for Him. Remember, the light of the world steps down into darkness. Now He becomes the light of the world. And so when we go as the light of the world into a dark world, Jesus fulfills His promise when He says, I'm coming. Because when we go, Jesus comes. We have a strong focus on making disciples. I'm thinking of asking the question, is there any better way to meet the disciple of Christ into an office? Is there any more effective way to make a disciple than to bring a child into your home and raise them? I don't think there is. In fact, I think most moms are the greatest disciple makers on the planet. Because when you bring a child into your home, whether naturally or through adoption, you are making a disciple. And so adoption fulfills in many ways the greatest of great conditions that Jesus gives. When we bring a child into a home, it fulfills the picture that the condition to make his life permanent by adopting such a valuable thing. I was talking to Lane Hansen, the Marine Corps, and he's up here. There's a couple of our small group leaders. And I'm already in the adoption. My first mom became pregnant at 15 years. And at that time, they didn't have open adoption. She sort of gave the child and it kind of cut off all communication. So we had about 3 weeks old, was raised by her adopted parents. And they were a good and God-fearing home. And Ronnie said, I know that my adopted parents gave me something that my birth mom just couldn't give me at that point in life. And so to give your child for adoption is also a very easy gift. It is a gift when an individual cannot raise that child, it is a gift to give that child up for adoption. That's what a lady's birth mom did. Now, it's kind of neat because much later in life, maybe many years later, a lady's mom was birth mom, and now they have a really neat kind of a relationship. And it doesn't happen every time, not all adoptions are the same. But a lady now, after her adopted parents both passed away, now has a relationship with the birth mom. One of the things she said was, adoption is all about the child. And adoption has to be all about the child. If it's about the parents or it's about what they want, then adoption doesn't normally have to. You know, Jesus very clearly in this life did not want to go to the cross. If Father said, anyway, let this come pass from me. You know, adoption, our spiritual adoption was about us and Christ being what He did for us. And adoption, that was the main big thing that He told me this week, is adoption is all about the child and what the child can be. You know, one of the things that I think is really neat about a leading parent's story is now they are in the process of adoption. And they are now taking a child into their home and right in the middle of that adoption process. And so Elaine, whose mother made a very sacrificial choice to give her child up for adoption, is now carrying that on in her household. They have also a multitude of kids, and yet she made a decision to bring another child into her home to adoption, and I think in many ways it's also a recognition. So we're going to talk this morning about how we can respond, how we can respond to the fact that we were orphans, God adopted us, and now we need help for receiving adoption. I mean, that's the heart of what I want to share this morning. We were helpless orphans. That's one thing that we're talking about. We were helpless orphans. bigger than that over the past couple of years, not yet that we've been going with this ministry. And I want to get an update from day to day to come on up. And I want to also then talk about how we can further this. Your neighbor on the block, if you would say, he does a really, really, really good job of heading up this ministry. So they just kind of tell us how it's going to be out in the community. That's a cute kid right there, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. All right, eight people. don't have to if we can do this differently. But I think the process of doing this, yeah, what would be the American way would be to say, okay, I'm going to this is going to be 150, cut a check to 150 and put it in. Okay? Let's not do this the American way this, because I believe what you're saying is the process of this is so important. Because every day what you are going to do is you are going to identify, well, I have this much to be forced to do. So each day, I think from now until Christmas, this is going to be one way I believe to actually simplify our Christmas season. It's going to be to realize, God, you have given so much. So even if you just do one check, if you're in my family, you're going to do this. So we're going to feel a little jar, and we're going to I'm going to make the kids do this, so we can do them a little bit. But for the rest of you, maybe just keep it running total. But I think to go through this process, each day like this, is going to be very helpful to help us with what it's like and what we have compared to maybe what they don't. This would be another way for a monthly sponsor to just regularly help us make them money. Thank you. will not be able to comfort us, fatherless, parentless, without I will. And then this book of the Bible almost finishes with this pure religion. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God is this. In many ways, Jesus is saying, this is what I did for you. This is my heart. I will not leave you in that good spirit. And so then, not as necessarily a command for Luke 1:27, but as an overflow of God's heart in our lives, we now step into the world of what we do. We look out. Everybody said? All right, amen. We're going to close this morning with a Christmas song. I found out that this song around the world is not a Christmas song. It's only a Christmas song in America, but it's one of my favorites. And the Christmas season is coming, and we're going to start cranking up Christmas music next week. But stand up, let's sing joy to the world. The Lord has, guess what? He's come. Joy to the world. The Lord has come.